Tonight, the Delta variant fueling this summer surge. Authorities now saying that this could keep getting worse until October. And tonight, Alabama's Republican governor now saying it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks for this spike. The highly transmissible Delta variant pushing some hospitals to the limit. In the Kansas City area, hospitals running out of beds. St. Louis County tonight reissuing its mask mandate. Florida, Missouri, and Texas accounting for 40% of all new cases. And tonight, that new model projecting this latest surge that we won't see the worst of it until well into fall. Tonight, Dr. Jha is here answering your questions about the millions of children heading back to school under 12, not eligible for a vaccine. Should they be wearing masks? How do you keep them safe? And for vaccinated Americans, the breakthrough cases, we asked the doctor when and where you should put a mask back on, even if you're vaccinated. The Summer Olympics underway in Tokyo tonight, with that city under a state of emergency because of the virus. The celebrations and the protests. Demonstrators concerned about holding the games during a pandemic, clashing with police. What the U.S. women's soccer team and the gymnastics team did today. Images from the ceremonies. James Longman live in Tokyo. The extreme weather just as we start the weekend. Wildfires exploding across 14 states tonight. This couple escaping the massive bootleg fire in Oregon. Fire crews driving through a wall of flames in the Tamarack fire in California. And in Colorado tonight, rescuers searching for victims of a deadly mudslide. Tonight, flash flood alerts as we come on, and much of this country set to feel the intense heat moving in again. Ginger Z standing by, tracking it all. News tonight on disgraced celebrity chef Mario Batali now agreeing to pay more than $500,000 to settle allegations of sexual harassment in the workplace. Your money tonight and what's happening with new and used cars. Many new cars sold before they even reached the lot. Used car prices soaring up to 45%. And tonight, how much some owners are making selling their cars back to the dealership. What's driving this? Here in New York, the shark warning tonight amid sightings. Authorities now adding patrols in the air and on the water. Once the Cleveland Indians, now with a new name tonight. And they never gave up. Day after day, this country moved by them. And tonight, we honor them. Who are our persons of the week?
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with these alarming new numbers, this new summer surge of the coronavirus, and the ominous new warning tonight, the new model that says what we're seeing right now might not peak until October, fueled by the Delta variant and vaccine hesitancy. Tonight, the Republican governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, who had a mask mandate for a time, clearly frustrated today and making national news saying maybe it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks. And with CDC guidance unchanged tonight, some local areas where they're seeing a major surge are taking action on their own. In St. Louis County, Missouri, new mask mandates going into effect. Missouri, one of the top three states with new cases. Hospitals there under stress tonight. That state sending an ambulance strike team to Springfield. And that mask mandate in St. Louis going into effect Monday. 1 in 5 new cases nationwide in Florida tonight. Hospital admissions there up 55% in just a week. The governor there saying he won't require masks for unvaccinated children going back to school, saying our children need to breathe. But Governor Kay Ivey of Alabama, as I mentioned, with a very different message tonight, essentially saying she's done what she can. It's now up to those who haven't gotten the shot to get it. And in some places, seeing this surge with large numbers of unvaccinated, they are starting to see an uptick in new vaccinations. Tonight, the numbers here, more than 187 million Americans have received at least one dose, 66% now of everyone 12 years and older. And that new model tonight, how long this current surge might last. We also have Dr. Jha standing by. How do you keep your children safe going back to school? And with these new breakthrough cases, when should the vaccinated actually consider putting masks back on and where? We have it all covered for you on a Friday night. ABC's Victor Akendo leading us off.
Tonight, the Delta surge is pushing some hospitals in hot zones to their limit. In the Kansas City area, doctors say they're running out of beds, and Kansas state health officials are bracing for it to get worse.
everybody needs to think of this as a crisis. This is a crisis situation.
With the rapid spread of the Delta variant, St. Louis County late today reinstating a mask mandate. And now a new national model predicts the surge in COVID cases may not peak until mid-October, with daily deaths potentially more than tripling what they are now. 38 states and New York City are seeing daily case averages double, triple, or quadruple over the last 2 weeks. One in five new cases are in Florida.
When you see someone under 40 die because of COVID, when there's a vaccine they could have gotten to prevent it, that breaks your heart.
Three states, Florida, Missouri, and Texas, accounting for 40% of new cases. In Alabama, the least vaccinated state, a frustrated Governor Kay Ivey not hiding her anger with the unvaccinated, but she won't issue any new restrictions.
Folks supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
The White House asked whether the administration should take a tougher approach toward the unvaccinated.
I don't think our role is to place blame. But what we can do is provide accurate information to people who are not yet vaccinated about the risks they are incurring, not only among on themselves, but also the people around them.
The unvaccinated making up 99% of deaths and 97% of hospitalized patients across the country. In Los Angeles, Stephen Harmon lost his battle with COVID the same day he was put on a ventilator. The 34-year-old was not vaccinated, often joking about the vaccine on social media, even tweeting, "I got 99 problems, but a vaccine ain't one." Harmon saying this from his hospital bed, "I will not be getting vaccinated once I am discharged and released." In Sacramento, Mia Vinard regrets she and her husband Brad didn't get the vaccine. She says his dying wish was for others to get the shot.
"Honey, please go tell our friends to get vaccinated. It's a real tragedy that this had to happen because we weren't on board by getting vaccinated."
Back in Alabama, Derek Duke this week finally decided to get the shot.
"I've been looking at the news and I've been seeing everybody's been getting their vaccine, and the ones that haven't been getting sick. So I've been thinking about my family and I want them to be well. So I brought them on down and we got our shots and I'm feeling happy."
And after the NFL pressured players to get vaccinated or risk forfeiting games and pay, assistant coach Rick Dennison reportedly won't coach for the Minnesota Vikings after choosing not to get a vaccine. The team says they're still holding talks with Dennison.
All right, so let's get to Victor Akenda with us live tonight from Miami. And Florida now reporting about 10,000 new cases a day. And Victor, officials are pointing to one positive sign, though, in parts of this country, an increase in vaccinations now in some of the hardest hit states.
David, the White House says five states with the highest case rates and low vaccination numbers have seen an increase in their vaccination rates in the last week. Those states, Arkansas, Louisiana, Nevada, Missouri, and Florida, saw more people get vaccinated when compared to the national average. David?
All right, Victor Akenda leading us off. We know many of you at home have questions with this newest surge, so let's get right to Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, always great to have you with us. And I wanted to get back to Alabama there. Governor Kay Ivey, her comments that made national news today, saying it's time to start essentially blaming the unvaccinated folks, were her words. We know that Alabama has the lowest vaccination rate in the country. She essentially said, "I've done what I can. I've had mask mandates here in the state. It's now up to people who haven't been vaccinated to get the shot." But how do you get the word out? How do we encourage more people to hear that message?
Yeah, David, thanks for having me back. I don't know if it's useful to blame people. I will tell you that at this point across the country, we're seeing a lot of unvaccinated people getting very, very sick and dying. And so my message to people is it's about protecting yourself. It's about protecting your family. These vaccines make an enormous difference in preventing you from getting very sick and dying. Everybody needs to get vaccinated. This is how we put the pandemic behind us.
Yeah, perhaps a more productive message than the governor, though she was clearly frustrated today by the cases that she's seeing in her state. And we're also hearing more about these breakthrough cases among those who are vaccinated. You and other health authorities have said most of these cases are mild. But obviously, if folks are having mild cases, they're not going to the hospital. There's no official log of this. How do we know what the numbers really are in this country? And if you are fully vaccinated, when and where should you consider perhaps putting a mask back on just to protect yourself from a breakthrough case?
Yeah, two really good questions, David. I would say, first of all, we're not capturing all the breakthrough cases because we're not testing enough people. We should do that. That said, we're certainly capturing breakthrough cases that lead to hospitalizations and deaths, and those are very rare. So what we know and can be very confident about is breakthrough infections happen, but they don't lead you to getting very, very sick. In terms of mask wearing when you're vaccinated, my general rule is if you're going to be around a lot of unvaccinated people, and if you're in a hot zone with lots of infections, you want to prevent that breakthrough infection. And the best way to do that, if you're indoors, is to go ahead and wear a mask.
And lastly, we check back in with you on this often. We know millions of children under 12 still not eligible for the vaccine. They're heading back to school in the coming weeks. The Academy of Pediatrics urging parents to send them back to school with masks. What do you say to parents out there who are worried if their kids are going to be interacting with other kids in families where they don't know if there's been a vaccination or not?
Yeah, this is a really tough question. I believe that if you are in an area with a lot of infections happening, it makes a lot of sense to have all kids who are unvaccinated be masked up. You could argue that in some places like Vermont with great vaccination rates, you can get away without it. But I have a 12-year-old, a kid, and my goal is to get him back to school this fall with a mask on.
All right. Always helpful. Dr. Jha, thanks for sort of guiding us through, and we'll see you here next week. In the meantime, there's also concern over the virus, obviously, at the Summer Olympics. The opening ceremony today, joyful inside, and the protests outside. Concern there over holding the games amid this pandemic. And the new numbers tonight inside the Olympic bubble. ABC's James Longman in Tokyo again tonight.
Tonight, an evening of celebration and of protests as the Tokyo Olympics gets underway. While tennis star Naomi Osaka lit the Olympic cauldron, marking the official start of the Summer Games, outside, protesters concerned about holding the Games during a pandemic clashed with police.
Listen to that. That's the sound of police shouting at protesters. There are quite large crowds of them on this street down here below. We're not allowed to go because we're in the Olympic bubble. But apparently, they can hear these chants inside the stadium.
The 68,000-seat stadium had fewer than 1,000 guests, most of them foreign dignitaries. A $1.5 billion arena welcoming athletes from some 200 competing countries. And among those there, First Lady Jill Biden. Only a third of Team USA appearing. Flag bearers Sue Bird from the WNBA and baseball's Eddie Alvarez leading the US delegation. But notably absent, the women's soccer team and Team USA gymnasts, including Simone Biles, who held their own ceremony at the hotel outside the Olympic Village. On social media, Biles pointing to COVID concerns. The pandemic looming large over the day's excitement, with 19 more COVID cases linked to the Olympics reported, bringing the total to at least 110. And all night outside the stadium, the streets filled with Japanese citizens carrying signs saying, "Cancel the Olympics." Protesters furious as new COVID cases have risen in Tokyo ahead of the Games. But earlier today, the executive director at the IOC telling our Amy Roback he's confident with where things stand despite the opposition.
Is there a scenario in which these Games could be cancelled?
There's no scenario in which they can be cancelled.
They say the Games will go on. James Longman with us live from Tokyo again tonight. And James, now it's not just the pandemic they have to deal with. They're also watching the forecast for the coming days. A major tropical storm now forecast to hit parts of Japan early next week, bringing heavy rain and winds.
Yeah, David, there is a storm forming in the Philippine Sea south of Japan. It could hit Monday or Tuesday. Now, it's not known if it's going to impact these Olympics, but even if it doesn't hit Tokyo, there are still plenty of events outside of the capital that could be impacted. David.
All right, James Longman, our thanks to you and to Amy Robach there all week for us. And back here at home tonight into the extreme weather, just as we start the weekend, wildfires, monsoon rains, and now the flash flood alerts as we're on the air tonight, and intense heat moving in for much of the country yet again. So Ginger is standing by to track all of this out. But first, the more than 80 large fires burning in 14 states tonight, a new one exploding near California's Dixie Fire, threatening hundreds of homes. Millions under flash flood alerts, powerful wind and rain slamming Las Vegas. And in Colorado, monsoon rains turning deadly. ABC's Kana Whitworth on the scene tonight.
Keep driving, baby. You're doing very, very good.
Fawn Smullen says it was like driving through Armageddon, shooting this video as her partner Russell King raced through the flames of the massive bootleg fire in Oregon.
We're fleeing.
Returning days later.
Here's where our house was. There's the water container.
This crew fighting the Tamarack Fire, escaping a fast-moving flare-up, and that fire still out of control tonight. The flames raging during the worst drought ever recorded. They need rain, but the monsoon storms packing 60-mile-an-hour winds, doing more harm than good. The rain coming too fast to be absorbed by the soil. Deadly flooding in Larimer County, Colorado. three people still missing.
And this all started from a stream that the locals tell me is just some 3 feet wide, and it turned into a 10-foot wall of water full of rocks and trees that destroyed absolutely everything.
Families worried their community may never recover.
What do you call normal after this? We were spared by the fires, you know, twice, and then to have this.
And David, the wind and the rain kicking up here again. Many of those burn-scarred areas throughout the state remain under the highest threat level possible for flash flooding. David.
All right, Kena, thank you for being there. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z. She's in Lake Tahoe, Nevada tonight, tracking all of this. Hi, Ginger.
David, we could barely see the mountains around Lake Tahoe. You can see the visibility is already reducing here in the valleys in Nevada. We're close to the Tamarack Fire, and we are not going to get that monsoon rain. But the folks that are going to get it are in potential danger. Flash flood watches in all the areas covered in green. I think Arizona is going to have rounds of very heavy and dangerous rain. If you get a warning this weekend, please do not drive through water. Rio Grande Valley throughout New Mexico, problem too. So they'll get a little dent in the drought, but the drought is intense. It's the worst we have seen in the West, 65% and the highest two levels of drought since we started recording that some 20 years ago. And then the heat, it is building and dangerous potentially from Louisiana to Minnesota. David, it's moving east for early next week.
Here we go again. Ginger Z with us tonight. Ginger, thank you. And your money tonight and what's happening with new and used cars. Many new cars being sold before they even reach the lot, and used car prices soaring up to 45%. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Tonight, the new reality for Americans looking to buy a car. Dealerships with new cars sold before they even arrive on the lot. The prices of used cars soaring. And it turns out, in some cases, car owners selling their cars back to the dealership for a profit. Brian Walsh is a car salesman in Scranton.
We've never seen anything like this before.
So what's driving this? Computer chips crucial for many new cars are now in short supply. Production slowed down by the pandemic, leaving dealerships across the country with low inventory. Many of those dealers now looking to find used cars to sell. Used cars in high demand and prices on the rise too. In some places, the cost of a used car up 45% over the last year. In Paramus, New Jersey, sales director Matthew Jelling says he's been watching what's happening with used cars in awe.
Are dealerships now more keen to buy used cars because you need inventory?
Oh, without a doubt. They always said you lose 30% of your value the minute you walk up the floor. It's not that way now.
Franco Dokai owns a car detailing business in St. Louis. He says this summer he's made $15,000 selling used cars back to dealers.
I can't believe for once I'm leaving the car dealership with money in my pocket.
Wesley Kistner is looking to buy a new truck in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he says several dealerships have offered him top dollar for his 2018 Nissan Titan.
That's the first thing they ask me is they want to buy it. I like new cars, but at the moment, they're not available.
And Jelling says in many cases, cars haven't even arrived yet, and they've already sold.
If you see cars coming off of a truck, chances are those 10 cars have been sold.
David, car dealers we talked to say that they expect this supply chain issue to last through the end of 2022. And with all that pent-up demand, it could make the wait even longer. David?
All right, Ariel, thank you. When we come back tonight in New York, the shark warning now and the major headline involving a one-time celebrity chef tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, celebrity chef Mario Batali and his former business partner agreeing to pay $600,000 to settle sexual harassment and discrimination claims. At least 20 former employees accusing Batali and co-workers of a pattern of harassment at three of his restaurants. Tonight, the shark warning off Long Island, New York. Several shark sightings reported since last week off Suffolk County and off neighboring Nassau County. Authorities increasing air and water patrols this weekend. To the index, the Cleveland Indians officially changing their name now. They will be the Cleveland Guardians next season. Team officials saying they surveyed thousands of fans before picking the new name. Finally, they never gave up. Tonight in Surfside, Florida, the community honoring the brave men and women searching in the rubble for 29 days now. We remember the moment of silence. A prayer next to the site. Tonight, the firefighters officially ending their mission.
Providing closure to families was the ultimate test of everybody here, and I think we did our best to do that.
Many of them now returning to their own families after sleeping at the site for weeks. Three-year-old Isabella Hernandez and her four-year-old big brother Eric waiting to see their father, Captain Eric Hernandez, holding their sign, "Welcome home to our hero, Dad." Tonight, a community, a nation, grateful.
It takes your breath away that some people love us so much. They appreciate us.
We honor them all. I'm David Muir. Good night.